Alright, time for another DoNotGuard.com video presentation, part 2, in a response to a debate between an antinatalist and a creationist, and both are kind of misdefined. He's a Christian who doesn't really believe in Christianity, and he's basically, frankly, a nihilist Christian. Who's just made up his own little story about what things are worth what, and both of them, okay, the antinatalist and the creationist, are apparently perfectly comfortable with the idea that nature actually sucks. There's not much you can do about turning the biosphere off in terms of the suffering in it without turning it off completely, because frankly, suffering is its game. It makes things for the purpose of destroying them so it can perfect a tiny percentage of them and make them into very good gladiators in a war of attrition, playing some wacky musical chairs for real, for life. Life and death musical chairs, life and death hopscotch, life and death soccer, whatever. It's a game that has all of this harm and dismal end, and frankly, it dooms everything to some portion of it. And they're saying, sure, I'll put a quarter in there. I suppose more specifically, they're perfectly comfortable with the idea that if they're going to, I would imagine they're both smart enough to figure out that if they're going to endorse something, then they'd have to endorse being the arbiter of it, that they would have to be, they'd be comfortable being the god who owned this experiment, that they'd be the doctor who said, yes, the experiment is justified, let's inject the little chimpanzee full of terrible diseases and see if it dies or not, or we can save it, we'll just use it as a tool and a victim. And they're perfectly comfortable with this experiment taking place on Earth. They wouldn't mind injecting 9 out of 10 kittens with some sort of horrible, nasty death. That's okay with them, because it's worth it. The one cute little kitten that survives and gets to fuck its female, that makes it all worth it. I mean, isn't fucking completely worth killing and torturing people for? So, that's what they both believe. So, neither one of them is a ethicist. A reasonable and rational, logical person who understands, no way I would take responsibility for this crap. I'm not injecting anybody with cancer. It's not part of the game I'm going to play. That's your business. You want to be cruel and nasty? You want to be a little baby Mengele, and enjoy your sadistically laughing and having fun while you eat torture, like it's potato chips. So they're both cruel, sadistic, self-absorbed, silly people who really haven't thought about what it means to be alive and the fact that this is all quite consequential and it's quite expensive, that existing is not free. And if you're going to pay the price, you can't pay it with other people's money. That makes you really creepy. So, that's the backstory, I guess. So it's really jerk and idiot against moron and fool. Something like that.
But not every...
The number one most dependable mass market brand, 3 years in a row by J.D. Power.
I didn't see that coming.
At Aspen Dental, new patients without insurance get a free full exam and x-rays, plus 20% off all treatment plans. Pathetic. Book today.
Not every parent deserves a child. And it's... You have a responsibility as a person.
So how do we actually prepare to be this parent thing, and how do you actually qualify yourself to make this decision for somebody else? And then how do you actually perform the duty in a world where half, at least, of the threats, half the swords, aren't swords you can shield against, they're going to come from the outside world. They're going to come from influences you can't control. They're going to ruin your kid. Drug addictions, all kinds of things that you might not plan for. Now, I'd say that was part of your plan, is to keep your kid completely isolated from a bunch of shitty influences in the shitty world. But, regardless, let's just say some of this stuff you don't have to take responsibility for, it doesn't matter. You know it's going to happen. You know the threat is there. So what is your prospect? I'm going to use my child to defeat entropy. That's what the one kid says. Well, I say kid because, frankly, that's what he's going. He's going for the kid look.
And who is going to be bringing children to the world to raise them well? You have a responsibility.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes, raise them well, meaning what? Educate them very well so they can become effulist and kind of depressed and morbid and just say, shit, this really does suck. What am I doing here? Or raise them to be an idiot and a moron and a retard who just keeps going around going, I'm a very good driver. I'm very good at everything. I'm having a very good time. Yeah, so what's your responsibility there? You can't even... A rational person can't even make this decision because, of course, they're not going to sit there and deliberately create a child to be to take on this dismal job of being a janitor, cleaning up messes it didn't make, because, frankly, that's the only ethically right thing to do, because it doesn't matter that you didn't make the mess. The mess exists, and it needs to be cleaned up because it's torturing things. Aye.
To treat them well, you have a responsibility to prepare.
I keep saying the same thing. Treat them well, take a responsibility, rather than responsibility. How? I'm just saying, it's a statement that doesn't mean anything. I mean, some of the most well-educated people in history have been suicidal. I mean, what's this great thing you're going to do for them? How exactly do you do this? Treat them well thing. What does that even mean? Now, certainly you can know what torturing them means. You can certainly know with you're not allowed to eat your children, or you can't use them for fly swatters. You can't feed them to the dog. There's lots of ways to describe not doing it right. But there ain't too many ways to describe doing it right. And you should be able to figure, this is again something you should be able to figure out on their own. I shouldn't have to say this to people. That don't you kind of understand that there's about a million ways to do it wrong, and there's so few ways of doing it right, and most of them have something to do with getting lucky.
Them for what they're going to face in the world, because it's a difficult place. Your job is to not be the trauma that's going to hurt them later in life.
Ah, la 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 la. Yeah, I mean that isn't enough of you're not going to fulfill your responsibility with that attitude, because it just ain't going to work, and there's no way to do it. I mean, you know, like I said, there's no safety nets. There's no such thing. There's no prospect. There's no way to fix the coming earthquake.
Yeah. Do you think that, and I think I kind of know your answer, but do you think that people are actually doing that at the moment? Because, so, what you're saying...
Yeah, so 99% of people aren't coming even close to doing that. In a sense, they're not even contemplating it. They don't have kids because they were on some sort of ethical mission to stop entropy. They had kids because they wanted something to play with, like it was a puppy. It's a toy. Okay, it's something that's supposed to make their life more fun. They're not having kids because they understand, oh my God, what an awesome responsibility. I'm going to be, for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to keep worrying about this poor slob. I'm going to have to keep trying to advise it and keep it out of trouble. I'm going to have to keep, you know, spending half the time I spend trying to keep myself out of trouble. I'm going to have to spend trying to keep him out of trouble or her out of trouble. You know, out of making poor decisions. That's not what they're thinking. So, again, they don't even start with the right agenda. So why are we pretending that any of this makes any sense?
The thing is that obviously, like, to in creating people, we are essentially, you know, fighting this war on entropy, which what that looks like in real terms is putting like a leash on nature and
so obviously they're not leashing nature in any way. They haven't minimized the amount of suffering on Earth. It's just all bullshit. You've found all kinds of ways to insidiously prolong people's death. It's about all you've done with your medicine, and this is all such bullshit. You know, keep people. I mean, we've never spent more of our life in deprivated conditions than we have now. You know, with technology. It just prolongs your disability and prolongs your agonizing death. That's what 90% of the medical technology is being applied to, is just maintaining your disability and prolonging your death.
Essentially trying to get it to be less cruel. Do you think that in practicality, in practice, that is actually what's happening? Do you think people are actually doing that?
No. I think any philosophy has an ideal that is going to be inherently...
Yes, and you'll just pretend that the ideal happened and it's already been invented and somehow I don't have to make it happen before I start talking about pushing on buttons. That somehow somebody actually made the machine, it's actually working, and now I can press the on button. No, the machine isn't working, it isn't effective, it is grinding up all kinds of things in horrible ways, and you just keep saying, someday, it'll work right, you know, and it won't be killing all the babies.
Not met. I mean, just look at any philosophy.
No, I get you. And so, if what we're doing is talking about ideals, but the person you're creating is being brought into the practice, and in the practice it isn't actually happening like that, is the ideal a justification for forcing that suffering?
Yeah, can you impose, can you choose who gets to be the fun little victim of your little fun experiment? So again, it's just the ethics of an experiment. You can just reduce it to you're saying somehow that this experiment needs to be done because you're fighting entropy, whoever that is. You know, whatever that boogeyman is. Ooh, the evil entropy is coming. So we can't even figure out who your adversary is, because frankly, it doesn't sound like a Nazi. But anyway, and then you're forcing this enslavement to some agenda you have, and you're basically saying, well, I want you to be a good soldier in this agenda I have, so I guess I have to inform you about how to fight and who you're fighting and what you're fighting. And so you're just imposing Scientology on a kid or something. This is just babble, baby talk, frankly. It should be a conversation only had by juvenile brains.
On the person who, in practice, very likely won't actually do anything.
I would say yes, simply because the act of having children is the creation of a nation.
Oh, whatever that means, too. I mean, oh, come on. It's just the creation of a nation. What have creating nations done for us? Oh, let's see. World wars and civil wars and just a bunch of awful, horrible experiences and, terrible, awful deaths. Gee. Thank you. This is the kind of moron that gets stuff tortured. This is what it takes. You want torture in the world? This is the kind of moronic human you need.
And if you look at the majority of people who are causing the most problems to our generation, none of them are having kids either. So two or three generations and they'll be gone.
Who are those people?
I would say that...
Oh, so he thinks people breed. Stupid people breed stupid people and pretty people breed pretty people. Nah, it doesn't work that way, retard. I mean, you really got to be really stupid to think philosophy is the byproduct of genetics. You have to be really stupid to believe that.
There is a very large Gnostic mentality inside of our, inside just the world at large.
I don't even know what that means, Gnostic. Gnostic is like ghosts and stuff. People are suckers for all kinds of silly theories. People believe photons have ESP.
A very, I hesitate to say nihilistic, but definitely self-centered. Because
okay, so if you're going to concede that that's all that's running the human race, then what the fuck are you endorsing? Why make this claim it's doing the right thing when clearly it's just doing selfish things?
It's not necessarily nihilistic. I see it in religious folks a lot, too.
Yeah.
Where it's like this poverty mindset. Where you don't know when you're going to
get... Oh, he's full of jargon, this poverty mindset. I wonder what that actually means. it's a Jew. something, right? There's some hidden agenda. This is poverty mindset. I mean, I wonder who that's actually describing.
Get your next real good moment in life, so you got to take what you can right now and not give to anybody else?
I don't know. Is that what poverty does? I don't know. I find that people who have endured some hardship are actually more generous than it's the rich who are the insane, stingy, greedy, miserly, I want it all and I want more and I want all of it and I want more of it and I want all of it and I want more of it, and they're never satisfied. I mean, they have miserable lives and they got millions of dollars or billions of dollars and they still can't figure out how to navigate their life without being drunk or something else. So, and more bullshit. Thank you very much.
I don't want to talk too much about current events, but we all remember what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
There was...
we all remember what happened. I guess that's the Trump victory. I wonder if he's a little Trumper.
Two sides to that whole debate, and neither of them were great to talk to.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I get what you mean. So, do you know...
There, so there's one part, there's one thing I agree with this... this turn about... That yes. So that's even another concession. Who would have a kid in a world where your kid's either going to be a loop-de-doo silly person or a psychotic, greedy, selfish, self-absorbed, racist asshole? I mean, those aren't great choices.
I don't think, because sometimes when I speak to a lot of people about antinatalism, and there are a lot of people who actually bring up arguments similar to yours. They don't come at it from a religious angle, but there is a...
The point is they don't come at it from any kind of rational angle. I mean, frankly, evolution is... If you don't believe we evolved, you're a lunatic, frankly. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming that we're a product of the biosphere. And the biosphere clearly has lots of other organisms with highly developed brains who are doing exactly what we're doing, except they don't really do the language mathematics thing, okay? They're not very good at counting to 10, and, they're not very good at being able to, they're Helen Keller. They're trapped in a brain that can't really integrate with the rest of the world, but it doesn't understand how to speak the language of the humans. It's not the rest of the world, it's just the humans. Anyway, so it's just a minor difference in the brain, frankly. It doesn't take much change to create a brain capable of language. So anyway, that's the only deficit. Otherwise, they're feeling, they have a very visceral life. There's a lot of people who have pets who say the pet is their best friend they had in their life. And if you were hanging on the cliff and their dog was hanging on the cliff, they'd save their fucking dog. So we already understand that this is a problem that's deeper than just the human circumstance. And these two people aren't going to cut such subject, I guess. They're just not going to come anywhere near it. They're not going to really understand that this problem is something intrinsic to the living circumstance and the harsh brutality of the mechanism that created this plethora of life, that it created it through this notion that it's just fine to create a bunch of inferiors and then destroy them.
A common argument that often actually vegans make.
Really?
You mentioned veganism in your video, I think, sort of tangentially. There's a common argument that I hear from some vegans, which is that they also actually... Because obviously, vegans tend to care about...
I don't understand how, like I said, how you can't not recognize that you're vegan, even if you're not vegan. Philosophically, there's no room to be anything other than vegan by philosophy, where you at least put up your hand and say, sure would be better if we weren't grinding up those poor little animals. I mean, I'd much prefer to be able to eat a hamburger that wasn't made out of fucking, Josie the cow, that would be preferable, sure. I mean, you can't logically escape it if you have any ethical decency at all. I mean, unless you're going to pretend that all these other sentient organisms aren't in fact sentient, you're just cannibalizing. You're just being a cannibal. So, I mean, you're either Mengele or you're an ignorant cannibal. I mean, you people aren't coming close to being anything on any kind of ethical high ground. You're on the lowest putridest ground you can get on, where you're just basically saying, I'm going to say it doesn't exist, and therefore I don't have to fix the problem. I'm going to say the kid isn't real because he's the wrong color. You're just being like a racist or anything else. You're saying the animals aren't speaking the right language, and therefore I can pretend they're not real. They don't really have a sentient brain that can be tormented. Such a denial of reality.
About animals. I'm not sure if vegans do. I think vegans do tend to care about animals more than the average person, right?
Yes, that tends to be the dichotomy.
Oh, fuck. Oh, boy, they figured that out all their own. Hilarious.
Yeah, or at least they put their care into practice more than the average person. Because a lot of people do care about other animals. They just don't tend to put that into practice in as much.
Yeah, it's because it's inconvenient. And anything inconvenient, they don't want to hear about. So any idea that they have to take responsibility for giving their kid cancer, that's an inconvenient thought. I don't want to have any of those inconvenient thoughts. Before I make the decision, I'm supposed to imagine the kid dying? And I'm ready for that? No, they don't want to do any of that. They don't want to think about any of these little negative thoughts that have something to do with reality.
You know, they may donate to like a dog shelter or something. But for vegans, it's much more of a...
Let's understand the torture that goes on in the dog shelters. Let's understand this is not the solution. Imposing surgery on dogs isn't much better than imposing death. I mean, frankly, if you're going to round up strays and then torture them, you're really not doing them a big giant favor. So might as well leave them out to get crushed by a steamroller than to be... and have surgeries imposed that you can't even, you don't know how much pain they're in, you don't know any of this stuff, you can't control much of it at all, but you'll impose on them out of your love. Well, fuck you, don't ever love me, because I'm not interested in being part of your, delusion that it's worth it. It's worth having your nuts cut off, because it makes it easier for you to navigate your little life. No, thank you. Save that for yourself.
An important principle for them, right?
Yeah.
And the argument that I often hear from that sort of sphere is there's two things. The first one is that we need to create specifically vegan babies so that they can continue the fight to help get animals out of farms. And
Who the hell would do this? Again, where can you have an intelligent conversation about creating humans that has anything to do with how you're going to philosophically control who they become? I mean, it's not only insanely manipulative, like, insanely manipulative, but, like, your kid isn't going to be smart enough to figure out you're manipulating the fuck out of me? And so what are the odds that you think you can do this? I'm going to program my child to be something, a particular thing, golfer, maybe it's possible, but some sort of philosophical perspective, not so likely, unless your philosophical perspective just happens to be rational and reasonable. Then they might end up there all on their own.
Laboratories and places like this, right?
Yeah.
Which is similar to your argument. It's essentially saying we need to create people to carry on a fight to make the world a better place in some way. And the other one that's even more similar to what you're saying is that they actually, because they care about animals and they also see nature.
All right, so what percentage of humans on Earth right now are doing that? I mean, you could maybe argue that some Christians are pretty passionate about forcing their kid to be Christian, but why are they doing that? I think it's only fear that their kid is going to find them repugnant if it actually figures out reality and recognizes that my parents are stuck in an archaic fable. They think they live in Hansel and Gretelville.
Which is very cruel. They say that we need to have more babies so that those babies will go on to have a net positive impact on the natural world, whether that be through some form of activism or just the fact...
Oh, yes, the activists are so helpful. So, again, all of this stuff about things where you have no evidence that any of this is in any way, this jungle is easy to cut a path through. And that all these pathfinders, you might argue, I mean, I might be one of those. I mean, the people bold enough to start hacking at shit and trying to figure out some way to get out of this mess, are in any way, have enough experience or expertise, you know, to be going in the right direction. Who knows? It's so difficult, understanding how difficult it is. Choosing between spending the money. I mean, if you had to make the decision, this is enough of a decision, in my opinion, to make life miserable. This one decision. Let's just say it was on you to decide. Okay, we have a big pile of money to spend on a malaria. You know, do we just buy nets for the people who are getting malaria right now? So we'll just spend the money on nets and some, you know, quinine water and different things to treat the problem. Or do you spend the money on doing a bunch of, you know, it's hopefully synthetic experiments and computer simulations and, efforts to destroy mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff, the stuff that might create a cure. You want that responsibility to make that decision, to decide that you're going to let people die and be tortured by malaria in the present to attempt to save the ones in the future? You want it on you? What if you don't win the cure war? You don't get the cure, then you made a wrong decision, and there's nothing you can do to fix it. You play this game. You want to play the game where you make these decisions? Then I'm going to call you what you are, a sicko.
That they are consuming resources that mean there's less landmass with the wild animals and nature on it, because there's farmland instead, because that person needs farmland to, you know, produce resources for them to live. So there's this similar sort of...
But let's understand, the farmland has all kinds of insects, all kinds of other things living on it, and then we've been introduced a bunch of pesticides that cause all kinds of flaws and, you know, make bird eggs thin and do all kinds of other crap to harm other animals. So fuck this bullshit that you somehow pacified nature. Bullshit. I mean, yes, it's better to have a big cement parking lot than it is to have a big hunk of rainforest. But beyond that, you're not helping. And then you could argue that the fact that you're actually are increasing the temperature of the earth means they're just inviting more life to exist, because you're, you know, created the thermodynamic capacity for it to hold more living things.
Line that often people talk about. And one thing that I often think about when people say this, and I'll say it to you now, is why does your mind jump straight to... So we've got this, essentially we've got this problem that we want to alleviate or maybe solve one day, although I'm not sure this problem will ever be solved. I think we can just alleviate it.
Alleviate it, meaning we can take some kind of percentage and that's okay. So if only half the number of people died of the plague from the plague, oh, it's a huge victory, because only half the people that died died because we fixed something or we mitigated. You're just still just saying some percentage of the victims just aren't worth your concern. And it's just some sort of numbers game. And once you get to some sort of percentage, it's okay to own slaves. So as long as none of us have more than, you know, 10 slaves per person, slavery's okay. But if you have 1,000 slaves, well, that's just too silly.
Why does your mind jump straight to, we need to create more people to do that? If there is a large amount of people out there who already exist and either don't know about the issue because they've been brainwashed by media, or they are just somewhat apathetic at the moment.
Well, why wouldn't he be a conditional natalist, in the sense that, well, look, he's already admitted he'd be an anti-natalist if he didn't believe in God. So he's already conceded the whole argument, because obviously the believing in God part is just too stupid. So in a sense, the conversation's over. So his anti-natalism is conditional on some existence of some poofy god in a poofy cloud somewhere, some fable about purpose and function, and that we're here to entertain God. You know, we just sing and dance for God, and then he'll give us little angel wings, and we'll spin in circles and praise him forever. because that's all part of the fun. I mean, it's just, it's just so stupid. So he's sitting there saying that somehow God cares about physics, even though God didn't tell us any physics in the Bible. So it clearly wasn't much of a story to him. And he clearly didn't say anything about biology, and he didn't explain anything about microbes or diseases or anything in any kind of rational way. He just made taboos, like, don't eat pigs because, yeah, you can get trigonosis if you don't cook it well enough. You know, he didn't explain any logic to it. You know, why it's okay to eat one kind of thing and not to eat another, or why do this, or why wash your hands. He didn't explain why. Because there's little bugs all over them, that's why, you know, and there's all kinds of diseases that can be carried on them. Viruses and all kinds of things. So what is this? You know, why wouldn't it just say in his Bible, you know, wear rubber gloves and do this and do that, you know, mask, surgical, you know, have a surgical environment, you know, wear your condoms, all of that crap. No, nothing. So I mean, it doesn't make any sense for him to make this argument from God wants us to fight entropy or whatever. That God hates animal cruelty. You're sacrificing them to God. I mean, obviously he doesn't care much about the harm to the animal. Shit.
But we could invigorate them to do something about it and care. Would it not be a more effective course of action to set up a foundation or go around doing talks or something like that to influence these people than suck up all your time bottle feeding?
I think, you know, I would have argued it would just, you know, just inundate your kid or in children in general with science knowledge. But unfortunately, science has been taken over by the wooies, and it's just turned into another religion. So, yeah, that won't work now. But, you know, it's like, look, how did Richard Dawkins actually had to have animal cruelty explained to him. So somehow he's a biologist completely immersed in all of these mechanical systems and understanding that we're just a mechanical system, that it's a selfish gene, so to speak, that the genes are really just using us as demonstration models, and the genes that will survive are the ones that can create a demonstration model that can defeat the other. He sees all of that. You can see all the blood that's just as red as ours and all of the other stuff that makes it just so obvious the animals are experiencing real torment. And it had to be explained to him that this is a function of nature. And then he writes a book called The Greatest Show on Earth, describing essentially the greatest mass slaughter of children in the history of the universe. What a great show. Kill the babies in its obscene numbers. Push them out of the nest all over the place. Because they deserve it. And we've earned it. We earned not being pushed out of the nest. And they deserve being pushed out of the nest. I mean, too illogical for words. So you'd say, look, I'd say science is the answer, but it can't be. Because apparently it doesn't work somehow. Somehow smart people can be insanely stupid. Because of their ego. So I think that's all it really is. They have this narrative running in their head, you know, that someday, Dawkins is thinking, yeah, I'll be, you know, if I can just live a little longer, I'll be one of those brains in a jar, you know, that thinks forever. Or something like that. I mean, there's just nothing to be optimistic about playing this game. There's blood and tissue and sinew and disgusting bits all over the place. You really have to be retarded not to see it.
One person, you know, and then raising them until they're 18 or 20 or however long you're going to raise them for. It seems like if you actually cared deeply about this cause, you would put your efforts elsewhere than to raise your own children. What do you think about that?
I actually agree. However, I also believe that people can do more than one thing at a time.
So I guess, sorry for the long diatribe, but yeah, I was supposed to say, so they're both conditional. Their antinatalism is conditional. Because somehow, if you really do have a great plan, and you really did work hard on your plan, and then okay. But they'll concede that all the people just having babies out of recklessness and sloppiness, and because they just couldn't give a damn about, you know, taking their pills, or wearing their condom or getting the surgery or any of that other stuff, and they're just going to pretend it's okay, I'm lucky, I'm not gonna get you pregnant. You know, I told all my sperm not to be very aggressive, so it's okay. You know, some sort of bullshit move. Yeah, most babies are not really planned. Fact. And the ones that planned, the plan isn't very deep. It's like, well, I think I'll get a puce-colored cradle, so whether it's a boy or a girl, it'll work.
I think that in the part of while raising a child, you can do those other things as well. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. But that's not really... The reason I would emphasize children simply is because, as a species, antinatalists aren't getting what they want. We're way below replacement level. Way below.
So, he just isn't paying any attention to reality there, right? The only people way below are the educated, and they don't control anything anymore. They're becoming a smaller and smaller percentage of the people voting. Okay, so, you know, doom is coming. I mean, idiocracy is on the move. So the sloppy and reckless are taking over the world. So let's not pretend that because the more sophisticated, educated people living in a more sophisticated culture are declining in their existence. You know, obviously it's not, you know, it's not the door that, you know, there's obviously doors open that you're not recognizing if you're going to say we, because it's not a we thing, okay? We aren't on a planet in declining population. It's still increasing.
Replacement level. Our species is on the verge of, I mean, not on the verge, but our pyramid has...
Not even close to the verge of. So I'm just saying, okay, it's all these projections say, oh yeah, somehow Africa's going to get all sophisticated tomorrow, and all of a sudden the birth rate's going to go way down, or somehow India, which surpasses China now in increasing population, is somehow going to stop. And there's nothing to stop it as long as it can buy more land in other countries. You know, I mean, as long as it can basically not have to suffocate under its own population increase and it can export to other countries, everything will be just fine. It'll just keep being an engine of stupid fucker. It'll just keep making lots of stupid fuckers and sending them all over the world to turn everybody else's civilization into shit. Thank you very much, wacky, idiotic, turncoat, traitor Democratic Party. I mean, the party that used to protect wages and protect us from being slaves is now enslaving us aggressively.
Decline, yeah. Or we have an inverted population pyramid. Once the with the baby boomers get to an age that they can't work anymore, our society is basically going to collapse because we'll have a lot more people taking from the system.
Right. So this doesn't make any sense at all. So he's pro natalist, pro make babies, so they can be there for the great collapse days. You're not coming. He's a fake Christian, of course, but I mean, you believe your Messiah is going to come and save us all and turn us into potato farmers. So what the fuck, you know, smite all the bad stuff and throw it all to the dismal horrors, and only us cool and great people, you know, will stay here to be great potato farmers. You know, ignorant, stupid, dupey, dumb potato farming animals. Yeah, that's our great adventure. Boy, well, she'll be defeating entropy as we plant our potatoes and marvel at their wonderful size and say, yummy, yummy. What do we have for dinner? Potatoes! Fuck. Can't even buy potatoes anymore. I used to be able to have potato night now and then, you know. But, I ain't paying fucking $4 for frickin' 5 pounds of potatoes. Fuck that. Crazy prices.
Then putting into it? Mm. Because they are the current largest generation and there's just not enough real workers to...
Just amazing. There's not enough real workers. You mean people doomedly and dismal enough to accept your meager, you know, crappy salary to spend all day out in the heat? Oh, there's only so many people stupid enough to say, my life's worth living. No, it's not worth living. If that's what you have to do with your life for, you know, 50 years, fuck that. You do it, shithead. He's sitting in his little air conditioning. Da, da, da. I inherited a grapevine farm. You know, I'm a whiner. A whiner. You know. Yeah, how much have you earned, you fuck? You know, how much real life have you had to live? Shit. Shit.
Take care of all of them, and also take care of society? So, because we're... I mean, when people talk about overpopulation being a problem, overpopulation would be a problem if every single... I mean, because think about it. Replacement level is every single person having a child to replace them.
Hmm.
Just one. So, every couple has to have two kids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not at replacement level.
Right, but all you need is about five of these people to have 25 kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, the pressure's off. Yeah.
I mean, how many couples do you know personally who are childless?
Hmm. Yeah,
I mean, now they're going to somehow, pretend these statistics aren't easily accessed and we can know them. So we know who's having the kids. Morons. Morons have children. Smart people really don't. It's just, that's like the absolute fact. You could just do it by IQ and you'll find out what the odds are of somebody having a kid. And the odds go way down. The smarter they are. The more of a life they have of their own, the less they need to create some other living thing to live off of, like a parasite. They don't need to be a Dracula if they've, don't have some immunity disease.
Being either intentionally without children or unintentionally is definitely rising, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember with the online movement, the dual income, no kids with a dog.
Yeah, DINK.
Yes. Which, I try to say the whole acronym because I cannot say DINK wide without it sounding like an insult. And so it's like, oh man, I really don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a slur. But
it does sound weird whenever I hear people say, because often people use it in just a matter-of-fact way and say, oh, there's a DINK over there or there's some DINKs over there or whatever. It does sound like a derogatory term.
Yeah, it does. It straight up sounds like a slur. And I'm like, whoa, what are we saying there? Is this some new terminology that I don't know?
I don't know. It doesn't really sound like all those other ones, you know. All those ethnically based ones sound a lot worse. But anyway, it doesn't really matter to me. Acronyms. The Twitterverse. Let's all pretend this is a way of dealing with a subject. These kinds of classifications. Idiots. That's an important word. So go out and just see how many idiots are doing one thing and then see what the non-idiots are doing.
But, no, I see it very often. We're well below replacement rate. I think we have...
So again, what does he keep saying this for, right? It's because he's living in a little elite, you know, fake world, okay? Because, frankly, it's not even close to describing the real world. It's really not even close to describing the real world.
Per every one person, I think we have 1.1 child in America.
Hmm.
Which means, in one generation, we've half...
That means the white people. So, I mean, it's just not conceding to the real story, okay? So it just doesn't mean much, because it doesn't have anything to do with reality.
Our population. Mm. So, when it comes to having children, it's give us 30 years, and those people who just don't hear about the cause and didn't want to hear, they'll be gone.
So the hearing about the cause thing, they'll be gone. I mean, it's not going to be, again, philosophy isn't genetic. What's going to be gone are, you know, the way people look. That's going to change.
A really issue is we take for granted the society that we live in.
Mm.
It's like, I've worked, you know, I've done a little bit of everything. I'm a bit of a handyman. And if you see how many people it takes to build a house, how much education is required just to build a house with power and plumbing and insulate?
Guess what? It's not that big a deal. I mean, the whole pre-manufactured house is kind of proving the point. It's really not that. Okay? I mean, it really isn't. The foundation, really simple rules, pouring the cement, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you have to measure a few things, count for that. The framing is almost, an idiot could do the framing. Really not complicated. Running some wires. Now, that they still haven't figured out how to do that in a rational way because they're boring a bunch of holes through the structure of the house, which isn't a great idea. you know, but anyway, because, you know, their cables are getting, they're needing more and more cabling to do more and more stuff, and it's more and more of a obnoxious abuse of your framing. But anyway, I won't get into the details, but it's not that much, really. One man can do it.
And all that. It takes, like, at least 50 different trades to make a house. Mm. And so you're going to have that.
Prove it. Yeah, I don't think so. It just, this is almost like, I mean, frankly, fixing one car is a lot more complicated than fixing a house. So that's just bullshit. Fixing plumbing. I mean, it's really not that complicated. Stuff flows downhill. Okay, I got that part. There's gas in the pipes. So you have to put a trap in now and then. Oh, I get that part. There's vacuum create. So you have to have a vent. Oh, okay, I got that part. It's really not brain surgery. Or car mechanics. Or a lot of other things. So it's really just a very poor example, frankly. Poor example. Sorry, your argument is lost on me because you picked something that really isn't that complicated. And I don't even know what your point is anyway. What does building houses have to do with this population thing? I mean, you're on the subject of the fact that somehow we're in declining population when actually world population is still increasing at a pretty scary rate. And your argument is that it takes trades to build houses. I mean, there's like a million DIY videos on the internet, you know, do-it-yourself videos, explaining exactly how to do things. People showing you, here, I'm going to do it. See, this is how you do it. You know, why is it now harder to get that done when you can just watch a video of somebody doing it?
At least, you know, 200 people from one side to the other come in there and fix up your house. And that's just houses.
Yeah, it's like, is it Milton Friedman who used the famous example of the pencil? Of like, a pencil is like a representation of how complex our global system has become, because the lead will come from someplace and the wood and the paint finish and the metal at the top and the rubber, etc. It comes from all over the world, and no one person is going to have the skill to from scratch build this pencil, but in a decentralized way it all comes together to
I bet you that's not how pencils are made. Okay, I bet you they're made in one factory. Okay, a little piece of wood comes in and the whole pencil is made in the one factory, so that doesn't even make much sense. But whatever. So you want to say the paint comes from another factory? So what? The factory could be next door. Who cares? What does this mean? How does this mean anything? The fact that we figured out in the Industrial Revolution how to do mass production and more efficient production, there's no big surprises here. There's no big surprises here.
Juice, a pencil.
And we produce millions of them. Yes. Mass producing, yeah. I'm just punching them out. I think a real good example was, I heard of a guy who tried to make a toaster. And he wasn't allowed to buy anything. If he wanted the metal, he had to go dig it out of the ground.
Oh, well, gee, that would be too ridiculous. So, yes, that's too ridiculous. Because, yes, it would take you forever to make a pencil. Did he have to make his own crucible, too? I don't even know how you make your own homemade crucible.
Yeah.
And it took him, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
And the toaster looked like crap. But it could toast bread.
Yeah.
And so I think we take for granted that we have a society at all.
This is a reasonable conversation to have on Earth? I mean, what the fuck is this? What's the point of this mush? Sorry, I can't find it.
I'm actually not positive we can survive the halving of the population without everything that we consider normal completely falling apart. Mm.
So do you think, because...
I mean, I could pick a much lower number, frankly. I mean, falling apart means that somehow you can't figure out how to build the factory yourself, okay? So, yeah, the place you get it from is Europe. Oh, can we do without European wine? Well, I guess we could make our own wine, couldn't we? And, you know, he's a winer, by the way. Yeah, I guess we could. So I guess we don't need European wine, so... I mean, it'd be idiotic for us to say, when America was so self-sustained for so long, that America couldn't do without the rest of the whole fucking world. That you could just blow up the whole rest of the world and just have America. Or maybe you could just have Wyoming, frankly. And you could just build a car plant and build this and build that. Build whatever you need. Get rid of the rest of those idiots. So So it's kind of silly, frankly. Every community was self-sustained. Every community had its blacksmith. Everyone had a doctor. It had this. It had that. It's not complicated to make your little civilization in a very small scale. But yeah, you do have to, in some way or other, create a mechanism to actually sustain that. In the sense that you have to have a medical school. Yeah.
I agree with you. It does look like, even though the population is the highest it's ever been, that's kind of hiding the fact that in many places there is a very low birth rate, right? So we're going to see the effects of that in the decades to come.
So this is all projected on the fact that you have to believe that somehow the third world isn't going to want to have what you have. That is, it doesn't want to have its electric car, and it doesn't want to have its solar panels, and it doesn't want to have its filtered water, and it doesn't want to have all the little luxuries that you have. So it's going to live in a continued, the humans in these other third world countries are going to be perfectly satisfied to live in their third world conditions. And clearly they're not, but that's what they're going to do. They're not going to have what you have. They're not going to end up with this sophisticated culture because they can't, because there's not resources on Earth to do it. So they're not going to migrate to your point of view, because they're going to continue to live in desperate poverty, and they're going to continue to give birth to victims in that circumstance. They're going to continue to have babies on top of garbage dumps. I mean, right now, there's some woman giving birth to a baby, and she lives on a garbage dump. It's happening right now.
Now, some people may say that's positive, some may say it's negative. But you seem like...
Humans are rats. I mean, they're going to go where the food is. If the food's in the sewage pipes, then that's where they're going to go. That's where they're going to live. That's what humans do.
Someone who's saying that is a negative thing.
It's not necessarily negative. It's going to change a lot. Yeah. It's going to change the world neutrally. It's going to change the world.
Whatever, neutrally. It's not going to change it in a necessarily bad way. So anyway, it's not going to happen in the first place. None of these countries except Japan have accepted their declining birth rate. All of them have imported foreigners to, take over their country. And so they're all increasing in population, and none of this will be tested. This theory that you can decline the population and have a perfectly good life. None of it's going to be tested anywhere except maybe Japan.
You don't think it will reduce...
Which the test isn't going all that well, because, yes, for every young person, there's three old people stealing all their money. Yeah. The maintenance of the dying is becoming a substantial portion of the energy of the civilization.
Capacity to do this venture of going out and changing nature?
It will. It will definitely change that. But the thing is, like I said, I'm religious. Mm. And so what kind of comes with that package is...
That package. I mean, this whole attitude, this guy is not religious. He's just pretending. He's posing. He's completely fake and phony in all respects. His whole existence is just talking shit. There's actually no sincerity to somebody, "I'm religious." what the fuck is that even as a concept? You wouldn't even say that. If you really believed in a God and a specific ideology of this is the theory of how this happened, you don't just say, "I'm religious."
You look for reasons behind things and patterns. Mm. And so it sounds naive from a scientific perspective.
No, it sounds retarded. Insanely retarded. I have decided faith is a reasonable concept. I will believe stuff without reason because it's convenient or fun. Yeah, no. Shit.
I know, because I think of myself as naive a lot. But you can sit back and go,
who would sincerely say that? I think of myself as naive. The first thought you have is about thinking and about how are my thoughts legitimate. I mean, the first thing you do is test your thoughts. I mean, you can't evade that.
You know, am I actually a very good driver before you say I'm a very good driver? So, I mean, if you can't even, if you're going to say I think naively, then there's no point in thinking, because thinking's not going to get you anywhere. You're doing it naively. Oh, I mean, just amazing. I think. Right there you're saying, I retard, about retardation. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Interesting thing that's happening. I wonder why this is happening. Mm-hmm. And then look for opportunities to do your charge in that point. Mm-hmm. And so if...
Your charge, the Christian soldier agenda. Send most of them to hell. Yeah, that's the agenda. Let's send things to hell. That's fun.
If everybody else stops having children, except for the people who legitimately want to make the world a better place, and legitimately care for their children and want the best for their children, then the only children that are born are ones who are going to live great lives. And
oh, it's just pitiful, right? I mean, who could think, except insanely naive, you should say you think of yourself as being insanely naive, to think that you can actually accomplish this agenda of creating your whatever baby janitor. I mean, some cultures can get away with it because the pressure is so intense, you know, like to be a doctor or a lawyer, and the culture is basically, yes, you're either a doctor or a lawyer, and they put a kind of intense pressure on a kid to be either a doctor or a lawyer or a physicist, you know. But come on, realistically, what are the odds that you're going to be successful in your child manipulation agenda?
Help the world.
But do you think that's the case? Because the way that I see it, like with the people I interact with, which are just everyday normal people, the vast majority of people who have kids just have them because it's the normal thing to do. It's not because of some grand reason of wanting to make the world a better place. It's either just for a selfish reason of like, I want one of those, so I'm going to make one. Or they're just on autopilot, like they don't think about it. It's just something that kind of happens rather than it's a specific decision they've made.
A little personal bit of my family, we have personal experience with that, because my three younger siblings, my mother wasn't able to have, she could barely give birth at all. I was removed by cesarean section. And so she didn't try, it was going to kill her if she tried. And so instead, we decided to adopt. That was our family's charge. We have
our family's charge? I mean, what was this? So when he was a kid, he consulted his parents and told them, you have a charge, so I guess you better adopt three kids. I guess that's where he's getting to. He was part of the decision.
Three younger children in my family that came from exactly what you're talking about. Hmm. I mean, my youngest brother was...
Okay, I don't even know what... So he's talking about his kids from his siblings, who apparently are more naive than he is. Okay, so, and apparently his parents were really dopey because they were too stupid to engineer their kids into not naive dopeys. So he's just basically describing the plague. Oh yes, my parents are fully immersed in idiocracy, and so are all my siblings. I'm the only survivor, but I didn't learn anything.
I was born addicted to methamphetamines and cocaine.
Oh, why?
Out of the birth canal, addicted to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just how it is. When you live in a poorer area, you're going to have a lot of people who abuse drugs. And I think, while I love my siblings, I don't think any child deserves that to be the entrance to the world, Dimmick. Now, that's not me saying I wish that my siblings were never born. I love them. But not everybody...
Whatever this is. So apparently he doesn't have his own kids. So, you know, at least that's a good thing. Because he's talking about other people's siblings. So he's talking about his siblings that aren't his siblings, apparently, right? He didn't say the word adopt, but it seems that's what he's saying.
It's the opportunity that they got to be saved from that and pulled out somewhere else.
Yeah. And so,
so that works out all the time. And we see all about how foster care works out so well and how even adoption works out so well. We see all these wonderful cases where it all turns out so marvelously. Oh, come on. As a psychological problem, it's gnarly as hell. I mean, as soon as as a kid, you know, these aren't my real parents, then you're going to be so much more critical of everything they do, right? Because you're going to keep thinking about, well, if my real parents, you know, had me, then I wouldn't be stuck with these assholes.
A lot of kids have to suffer their entire childhood because their parents are like that. Yeah, no kid deserves to be born inside of a meth house.
Yeah.
So
whatever that, you know, deserve, again, has nothing to do with it, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, it's had such a tiny, there's such a tiny percentage of this bad that you can actually shield yourself against.
It's a horrible, horrible existence, and it is completely preventable.
Hmm.
So it's like, the solace for that is that generally people are having, in that particular case,
The argument is that everything is completely preventable. That there's absolutely no reason not to prevent it because there's no song and dance you're actually doing that means anything. Your little fantasy story narrative in your head that you're Superman in disguise, you know, that you're, you know, doing your Clark Kent thing, or whatever the little silly story you have, it's just that, a silly story. And it's not worth torturing things for. You're not doing anything but singing and dancing. Now, in your case, talking shit, but same difference.
It's, yeah, it is a good thing. People are having less children. That would probably be where my perspective has changed.
I just don't even understand how this is an acceptable thing to say, people are having less children. Again, it's acceptable for me to point out that, yes, when you educate people, they decide all on their own without even being antinatalist or whatever, being ethelist or anything. They choose to be, it's like somebody choosing to eat potato chips instead of steak. I mean, they choose correctly, okay, but they don't do it on purpose. But it's still a victory.
Last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like, no, it actually is a good thing that the trend is downwards because there's less of those examples.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's bad in general, but I would say in a vast majority of cases that we see around in modern society, yes, it is probably pretty bad.
So, about that, we can obviously, like, let's remove it from your family because I don't think it's good to, like, specifically,
yeah.
But just generally, a child born into bad conditions, I would agree with you. It's better for them, you know, not to have been born in the first place. But what can you explain to me? Because I don't know if this intersects with your religious views.
So whatever. So again, this whole argument is that you'd better, you know, better never to have been. Okay, is, you know, the title of the book. And it's an interesting phrase. I mean, it's hard for somebody to say, oh, the world would be better off if I didn't exist in it, because, frankly, I'm important. You know, my brain says so. you know, but the rest of my brain says, gee, that part is so full of shit. But it's just a fact. You're going to, you know, be attached to your own existence because you experience your own existence. You have familiar, you've petted yourself, so to speak. So, you know, you're familiar with you. And, but I mean, yeah, there's nothing to argue about the fact that, you know, all you're doing is basically satisfying a bunch of deprivation that's created inside of you, and you go out and satisfy that deprivation, and then life basically debilitates you and dents you and breaks you until it finally kills you. And that, yeah, you know, you're better off not doing all that crap. I mean, frankly, there's just no point in doing it.
But can you explain to me why you think those specific examples are actually not acceptable?
Because that is an example of, well, I'll be honest, because most of those kids die.
Mm.
Most of those kids die horrible, horrible deaths. And if they...
All right, so we could use the Martian argument here, right? We could just say, look, we're not grieving that the Martians don't exist. So obviously none of the very interesting Martians, you know, whatever the Martian version of Napoleon is, or the Martian version of Newton, or the Martian version of... Sorry, I can't think of any good people. Those people never... Those Martians never existed. Well, I'm not crying. I'm not... Doesn't mean anything to me. So why am I pretending this planet's people, you know, they needed to exist, but the Martians didn't? And again, if I can't shed a tear over it, and I could shed a tear over having to actually go over to Mars and give the Martians cancer, clearly the win is Mars, not Earth. Mars is winning, the Earth is losing. And it's losing a lot. The blood footprint is out of control, insanely stupid, moronically stupid. Okay. The blood footprint on Mars, excellent.
they don't die horrible, horrible deaths. The traumas and abuse that they experience in life, and the fact that they have readily access to drugs at all times, they're going to end up probably exactly like their parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Because their parents are only like that, usually because they had parents who were addicted to drugs.
Mm.
And it's just a downward spiral. At least that's in my area. That's the...
What a stupid story that is. frankly. Come on. Tons of middle-class kids become homeless drug addicts. So, that's just a silly story this guy's telling.
Usual turn of events.
Yeah. But, and I totally get where you're coming from, you know, that a lot of those kids will die often in horrible ways. And I agree, that is, for me, that's one of many reasons why I think it's better for them not to come into existence. But does not everyone die?
Oh, absolutely, everyone dies.
Yeah, so why is death not as much of an issue with other people? You know, like you and me, we're both going to die at some point.
It's not really the death that bothers me, it's the...
Yeah, well, as you get closer to it, it gets a lot more real, you know, as the odds, every time you're rolling the dice, 1%, you just say, 1%, I can, 99, 1 in 100 chance, 1 in 1,000 chance, well, I'm not too worried, rolling those dice. But as it starts creeping up to 5 and 10, and every year you gotta walk up to the dice every year and throw them, and there's that 10% chance you're not gonna be here next year. And then it's a 20% chance, and then by the time you're 90, it's a 50% chance. Every time you gotta walk up to the dice and pick them up, there's a 50% chance I'm not gonna be here next year. I mean, I don't know exactly how everybody lives with that. I think they live with it by not thinking about it. Because if you think about it, it just, it's a boner killer. I mean, I really don't want to do the dying thing today. But it's going to show up like that. It's going to show up, and then someday, this is going to be my new agenda, dying. Oh, fuck. I don't get to do any of the other interesting things I was doing. I have to do this horribly uninteresting and unpleasant thing. No, that's just so much to look forward to. I just thank my parents every day for this charming gift.
Just to add on to it, like, neither of us two know how we're going to die. Like, we could die in a horrible way.
My joke is always that I'm not going to live to see 35. Calling up and
So that's his joke, right? And I told the same joke to myself, but obviously it didn't work out that I said 40 just because it was the year 2000 was my 40. So it just seemed like a good day to die. 2000, yeah, that's enough. I've seen enough. I would have seen enough, right? So this is the same. This is like I've been suicidal. I think people still should have babies and, make suicidal kids and all that fun. I mean, where does he go with this nonsense? I mean, he's really not taking the subject seriously, right? I mean, just to glibly talk about dying as if, when he's 35, he's just going to hit the magic button.
Maintenance tunnels really puts the number of you. I mean, I've personally seen... in the last year, I've personally seen 3 people die on construction sites. So, construction has the highest death rate next to the military.
So
I don't know where he got that statistic either. I think suicide might be ahead of both of those. Construction. He doesn't look like... a tradesman, but anyway.
Oh, no, I'm well aware I will die. The last person I saw pass, unfortunately, was only a couple years older than me. And so it is always on my mind when I wake up in the morning and go to work that it could be my last day of being alive. I could go and a crane could drop a block on me or something, and it would just be over.
Yeah.
I think it's like, a crane block is held,
But what if it drops on you in a wheelchair for the next 50 years?
A good 6 feet off the base of the crane. It takes 0.6 seconds for a crane block to hit the ground if it's disconnected, and it takes about a third of a second for your brain to process that it's falling at all.
Yeah.
So you physically, the distance between the neurons to your legs makes it impossible for you to move out of the way.
Yeah. But why would that death be a reason to not create someone, but the death of that child in a in some awful situation. Why is that death enough to say?
Why would you impose it on something? So you haven't done it, frankly. So he hasn't done the average death. But he's willing to impose it on the average person. So that's again, I just argue, if you really had to do this, torture somebody with cancer, you'd find that job acceptable. Obviously, I wouldn't, because I'm not a rude, obnoxious, selfish jackass.
They actually know it's better for this person not to have been created.
That's a good question. But I would consider it not necessarily because of the death that I would say it's a bad thing. I would say it's because you are bringing a child into the world, and it's going to be as close that as you could get to the... Cause in my previous debates with antinatalists, I've gotten the whole the life with nothing but suffering.
I don't see this as a debate, frankly. He's conceding most of the points, and he's just saying, I'm too much of a nihilist to give a shit. I think he's conceded the argument. He's basically said he's full of silly notions. He doesn't think very well. Obviously you don't think very well.
Argument? That's about as close as you'll get to that in real life. Because, obviously it's a hypothetical life with nothing but suffering. But that's about as close as you can get to that. You're going to... The first feelings you'll feel in life are withdrawal. And if that doesn't kill you, those houses usually are very dirty.
Yeah,
you'll have scabies, mange, diseases.
Yeah.
So it's not good.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily just the death, although that maybe it's part of it, but it's that the overwhelming experience of that individual being created is just one of suffering.
It is needless suffering.
So again, this necessity. Where's the necessity? There's no necessity for the Martians to exist or the Newtonians. Plutonians or the Saturnites or any of these other things to exist. No necessity whatsoever, no perception that there's anything missing from the universe, nobody contemplates it and goes, woe is me. So why this pretending that there's any necessity involved in this experiment? That this experiment will prove anything or accomplish anything. It will not cure any disease the universe has. The universe is not in some way broken without this vital infestation on the surface of this planet. It is not in any way accomplishing a goddamn thing. And if we take humans out of the equation and just recognize that then the smartest thing on the planet is a shark, or an octopus or something, if we just recognize that the sea where it all started, the ocean never evolved any higher than that. That's the best it could do. On its own, and that's what the planet will be littered with, a bunch of ignorant victims mass consuming each other in this gladiator war for no victory, to win a mud pie. I mean, they're fighting over an absolutely valueless prize of a pointless and meaningless victory, and all of that will mean absolutely nothing because they're going to be killed anyway, and not only as individuals individually killed, but they're going to also be killed as an existence in the universe anyway. They're going to be wiped off the face of the universe. The universe will annihilate every bit of structure that would indicate that this crap ever even existed.
Those children are brought into the world, and they don't ever get a chance to do anything themselves.
And so, again, these perpetuators, these wishers to perpetuate the doom, are sentencing some generation to actually have to face global warming, let's say, or meteor impact, or radiation, from the universe, some solar radiation, some galactic radiation, hits the galaxy turns just the right way, hits you with a big beam of highly radioactive cosmic rays. It blasts right through the magnetosphere and gives you all cancer. You're dooming a generation to have to live with the biggest earthquake, the biggest, trapped in their car trying to eat their arm off. You're forcing all of these things, all these fun little adventures to happen with your perpetuation philosophy.
Don't ever get a chance to experience themselves. All they get is neglect.
But one thing that I have with that is like all like every anyone created is going to experience some level of suffering, right?
Of course.
And some people who...
Yeah, but let's not pretend it's at all balanced or even. The fact is that the one-third or whatever percentage is going to be dragged outside the car on the asphalt while the other six people or whatever, you know, 3 to 6, you know, are going rah-rah and wearing their sponge thumb as they take their trip to Disneyland. I mean, you're dragging the victims. So don't let's not pretend that... I've had a bad enough life. I've had the average bad life. Because in so many respects, I've been insanely lucky. I've been unlucky in some respects, really lucky in other respects. But I'd say on balance, I'm fucking... if I have to choose to be somebody, I'm going to choose to be me again rather than any of you saps. You know, because you've made all kinds of stupid choices. I'm grateful to be me. You know, I'm the one of the winners saying, fuck, I know how easy I could have been one of the losers.
Created may even experience the same level of suffering as those children, just maybe in a different way or a different part of their life. Maybe it's at the end of their life, you know, because often people really go down at the end of their lives, and a lot of the bad stuff concentrates to that end of their life, right? But you were saying that with those...
And it basically ruins a perfectly, you know, a life that wasn't all that bad. Turns into a tragic pile of slop where every bit of dignity that might have remained, any memories that would have been good, are all destroyed by the awful, horrible monstrosity their life becomes. I mean, Alzheimer's, for example, just completely destroys even your capacity to remember the person as they were, and all of those kind of, and it's disgusting that this happens. It's bad enough. You know, that we have to live these lives of crap. It's like the Trail of Tears or some other... It's bad enough that people had to die in pointless ways, but this whole idea that they don't even wish to, you know, recognize just how it destroys the value of the all the previous deeds and all the previous work and all the previous effort, all that is wasted. It's a painting and you've just thrown tar on it.
Children, it's because the suffering is essentially meaning.
It's a beautiful piece of music, and then you put a bunch of banging on a garbage can in the middle of it.
Meaningless, because it didn't come alongside the opportunity to maybe reach their potential or do the things they would want to do and stuff like that, right? But maybe if the suffering comes at the end of your life, at least it's somewhat compensated by the fact that you've had these opportunities.
Oh, whatever. So I know that's going to mean anything when you're in agony, screaming for your morphine. So, no, that's bullshit. It's just insidious. The fact is people don't recognize that that's part of the package because they haven't done it yet. So again, these are all people talking about life and they're indicating that they really haven't thought about it in the sense that clearly they're going to testify differently after they've gotten the worst of it. So if they get the worst death, you're not going to be so gung-ho. You're not going to so easily and glibly say, yes, let's impose this on somebody else, because all of a sudden now the balance is going to be clearly understood because you actually had to go through this horrible process. So all these people who haven't died testifying to how bad death is and telling somebody else that it's all going to be okay, I'm going to impose life on you and you're going to die, and it'll all be okay because I say so, not because you know so. Not because you've had to experience years of torture. No, because you're glibly just pretending, well, it's somewhere in the future and I don't have to worry about it much. That's all you've done. You've dismissed its existence. Even though you've seen it happen to other people. That's the irony of it, right? They've seen other people die slowly and horribly. But they're pretending that's not going to happen to me. Yeah. That's all this is.
And stuff like that. But the thing that I would say to push back on that is that before any of these people were created, they didn't exist to want any of those opportunities, if you get what I mean. Like, the only reason that they want those opportunities and whatever it may be, I don't know, the opportunity to climb a mountain or...
Look, this is, you know, it's really hard to do this stuff, okay? Because we have attachments and we have a winning attitude. We want there to be a victory. But these aren't circumstances in which you can win. So, and it's like the injured cat thing. The cat doesn't need to exist. It's just a fact. And you're not doing it some kind of personal favor by saying, well, I'll do a bunch of surgery on it and fix it so it can, you know, after, you know, 6 months, it might be able to get back to 50% of its past life, you know, or some kind of functionality. It'll, you know, it'd be a little bit, you know. You know, you're not doing it a favor. Rescuing things from, you know, their sleep apnea or something, you're not doing it a favor. Waking anything up is a mistake. Because once it's at peace and it's safe. So once it's dead, leave it dead. Once it's asleep, keep it asleep. You know, that's the only sensible thing to do, is to gracefully exit whenever possible. You know, I don't mean imposing, but I just mean that if you're responsible for the thing's welfare and it's already anesthetized, why would I go any further? I've done my job. I've put it at peace. It's at peace. Why the fuck would I wake it up with a bunch of, you know, wounds to heal and have it tortured by those the miseries I'm going to impose for the next 3 weeks or whatever while it attempts to recover? Why would you impose that on something and say you did it a favor? Again, please don't do me this favor of imposing your surgeries and imposing your fixes. I certainly wouldn't want it.
Or to do some other great thing. The only reason they may want to do those things is because you created them in the first place, right? So it's sort of like there's no demand for the opportunities that you want to use as a compensation for the suffering you're imposing on someone.
Why doesn't Mars have to fight entropy? Why don't we make the Martians fight it? They're assholes anyway. Let them fight entropy. I mean, it really is. It's a ridiculous conversation, frankly. Just ridiculous. That people can't think a little better than this. But anyway, it's maybe enough. Yeah, 121. Okay. 52. I have to remember that. So I got another half to get through, so it's a lot. Yeah. But it really is now just getting to, you know, this isn't the subject, frankly. I mean, okay, the fact that he's bringing up the fact that there's no necessity. The other guy has already conceded that if his God doesn't exist, there's no purpose, and he'd be an antinatalist. So, okay, he's already conceded the argument. The only thing in the way is his fake Christianity, frankly. His little escape notion. Oh, well, maybe there is a God, so therefore I'm going to pretend there's a purpose even when there isn't one. Because maybe it could be true that Bugs Bunny, you know, created the universe. It could be true. Anyway. All right. So, but yes, we'll call that a video. And we'll do some more of this when I get around to it. On part 3 and 4, probably. All right. So, till the next time. Yeah, that's really enough.